Hello.
Hi, is that Vic?
Yes.
Hi, it's Francesca from INS Law calling about your Scottish Redress Scheme application. Is now a good
Okay.
time to talk?
Yes.
Yeah, so I spoke to you a couple of days ago, and said I'd give you a call back in the afternoon, but unfortunately you were unavailable. I thought I'd try you again. Are you okay to go through your application now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
No problem. So before we begin, I just need to take some details off you. So can I grab your full name, please?
Say Victor McCogg.
And were you ever known by any other names, especially while you were in care?
No.
No previous surnames or anything?
No.
No problem. And your date of birth?
17 February 1966.
And your current address?
69 Sapphire Road, ML4 2HN.
69 Sapphire Road.
ML4 2HN.
HN,
I just
perfect.
remember.
And do you happen to know the address that you were in before you were placed in care?
Yes. 12 Tweed Street.
Tweak.
Yeah, Tweed.
Tweed.
T.
And what area was that in?
And Court Bridge. Lanarkshire.
Lanarkshire, perfect.
Yes.
And do you recall your parents, so your birth parents' names?
It's just a father. I was Thomas McCall. My mother died when I was young.
And what was your mum, sorry?
Her name was Anne Lee. That's ANELIE, Anne Lee.
And are you registered with the GP at the moment that I'll be able to take the name of just at the surgery?
It's one street surgery, and that's in Belsall. Belsall.
John Street Surgery.
Yes.
Perfect, thank
Green
you.
Moss Place, Belsall.
Perfect.
Postcode.
Yeah, did you have the postcode?
For the doctors, no.
No, that's okay, no problem.
The ML4 something, but I don't know.
That's perfect. So obviously, I appreciate the discussion experiences connected to this application be difficult and upsetting. So at any point during the phone call, if you need a break or any explanational support, or if you want to continue another time, just let me know, okay? And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or anything that you want to make me aware of?
Not really, no.
No, no problem. So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the scheme to you. We'll go through your options. I'll explain how INS Law operates, and then we'll go through funding and fees and then gather initial information to assess whether we can assist you. Is that all okay? Do you understand everything so far?
Yes.
Perfect. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So I want to make sure that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us or not. So you're able to apply directly to the scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates underneath the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. So they're paid by the government for helping you with your application. So they can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for helping you, whether you're successful or not with the application. So with us, INS Law, so we don't operate under the government fees thing. So you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we're not paid by the government for helping you. So would I just be able to confirm that you've not instructed any of the solicitors or anything in relation to the Scottish Redress Scheme?
I haven't, no.
No, no.
I'm not really kind of want to go ahead if I've got to pay any money to it,
What
you
was
know.
that, sorry?
I'm not really want to go forward with it if I've got to pay money myself, you
Oh
know.
no. So we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing, and then if you withdraw your application on advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive the redress payment, so our fees consist of basic charges based on time spent and then a success fee. However, it's capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of the payment. So you never pay more than the agreed cap, and it's again, like I said, it's no-win, no-fee. So if you're unsuccessful or anything, so it's only from the redress payment, so you don't have to pay anything else.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah, is that all okay?
Yeah,
perfect. So I want to make clear as well, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award. So they operate on a discretionary basis, so I can explain that in greater detail during the call. So can I just confirm that everything, you're okay with everything so far, you understand everything?
Aye, I do.
Perfect. So if instructed, so we assist with your eligibility to apply to the scheme, then we gather and review all the evidence, we prepare and submit the application, we do all the correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so you don't have to do any of that. Then we can advise you on any offers made. We'll explain the statutory waiver following an offer. And then if you're unhappy with the outcome, we can assist you then with any reconsideration or review processes within the scheme.
Okay.
So if a redress offer is made, we can fully explain the statutory waiver before you accept anything. And it is important. So if you accept an award from them, it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you're not expected to accept anything unless you fully understand the consequences.
Right.
And then with us, so you have a right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed with us, then you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel in that period for any reason without charge. And then if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So are you happy for us to begin the work while that still remains? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, so following this phone call as well, I'll send over an email. So we require proof of identity for verification purposes. So we'll need a photographic ID and then proof of address that has a date within 3 months of today's date on it. So to comply with anti-money laundering regulations and everything. So following this, I'll send you an email with everything that you can send. So it'll just be one of each. Is that okay?
Yeah, I can sign to the...
Yeah, perfect.
What kind of proof of address do you need, like a... The doctor's letter or something.
So any letter that has your name, current address, and then a date stamp on it that's within the last 3 months.
Okay.
So I'll just begin now with the application.
What ID does the bus pass do from there?
So what is it? One of the Saltire cards, or is it?
Aye, any season.
So if you send that over, then I can double check to see if it is, see if we can accept it. But if not, so we can accept 3 forms of address instead. So if you don't have the photo ID, you can send us 3 letters with the address on it.
Yeah.
If that's easier for you, you can send that over instead.
Well, it'd be easy to do an email when you send it, right?
Yeah, so I'll send you an email, and then if you respond to the email, then just take photos of them and send them back, and then I can add them to your file.
Well, you send them one email, basically.
Yeah, so I'll send you one after this phone call, so you can just reply to that one. So are you ready to be in the information section now, is that okay?
Yeah.
So regarding contacting you, so it's usually by phone, email or text message. Is there any of those that you'd rather not be contacted via?
No, okay.
No? No problem. And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
Well, I've got prostate cancer, but it's not. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going through the hormone therapy for that.
Yeah. So in regards to that, so we can add it onto the file for you, and I'll see if it classes. So anyone with a terminal illness, they.
Well, it's not going to go away. You know what I mean? Keep your eye, basically. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I'll add it onto your file and see then. So sometimes regarding terminal illnesses, if anyone has one, so we can kind of put them on a fast track. So I'll double check. And then regarding your application, actually, you can add a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, it would be handed over to the beneficiary. Would you like to add one? You can do this at a later date.
No, my brother. As long as you've got to give you, I don't like your contact details, that's the thing, you know, case.
Yeah, so we need his first and last name, date of birth, address, and then a contact number.
Can I do it without a beneficiary then? Because I'm not really that bothered anyway.
Yeah, you can always add it at a later date anyway.
Aye.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so have you received any relevant payments? So criminal injuries compensation, anything related to the abuse or advanced payment scheme payments or anything like that?
No, I've not had any
No.
more than what exactly.
Yeah. And do you have any criminal convictions?
No.
No. Go. Just to confirm, so you weren't known by any other names at all while you were in care? No, no problem.
Yeah.
And can I just double check what your birth mother's surname was?
Sorry.
Your mother's surname.
Matarabic. That's MATURUVICH. What's your name?
So just in regards, so obviously, when you're in care before you're 18, so some of the records, everything will be under their names. So we have
No,
to
see,
ask those.
my mother was dead when I was two, so I don't know. I was just kind
Oh,
of
okay.
my father was kind of bringing us up, you know. That's
It'll be your father's.
one of the
Okay.
reasons I ended up in there, you know, in the place.
Yeah. Okay, no
Yeah.
problem. So moving on that, so I just need to take some details of the care settings you were placed in. So the name, area, and then if you can recall the time that you were there, so like approximately like the year you were there, or just the general,
I
if you
know the
can't remember
year.
specific dates. So how old were you when you were placed into care?
14 or 15, 1981, I was 15.
1980. And what was the first place you were put into?
It's called Calder House, and that's an assessment centre. That was for where you assessed to see many, many, like most people only stayed like 3 weeks, and then they would either social work would either say they could go home or they would
Yeah.
say you go out to school, you know. Was
And
turned up.
what area was that in, sorry?
It's in a Blantyre, and it was just kind of, but I don't know if it's still there, you know.
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay.
But see, but, I mean, most if you've had any else, the main complaints from this area, they would maybe like have been in there first before they went to the schools run by the monks and that, you know.
Yeah, so following that then, where were you placed?
It was a Warningdale school.
That
It's called,
Warringdale.
no, Warningdale, LOANING, Warningdale,
Learning.
DALE, Warningdale.
Okay,
That
was that a
was
residential school where you stayed?
that was in Bigger. Biggar, Bigger. And that's the Atlantic side.
And how long were you there for?
Best part of the year, you know, because I had to leave school basically,
No
I
problem.
think.
Did you say you were in the assessment centre for about 3 weeks, did you say?
No, I remained in there for like 3 months because
Oh, okay.
they were wanting, I was to go to this other school and I was refusing to go to the, because I
No
had problems
problem.
with this with a monk before, and before I went to the assessment centre, the social work took me to stay with a monk
Yeah.
called Brother Cuthbert in Coat Bridge. It was a house, he's a big house he stayed, it was run by social work, and that's
So
where the
was
abuse
that
started.
before the assessment centre?
Yeah, that's where the abuse started with him. He was in
So in Court Bridge.
Coat Bridge, yeah, it was caught a guy called Brother Cuthbert. He worked for the social work department.
So was that like a foster setting?
Well, not really, no, because he stayed there in my school days, so he would take you to school. See, because my dad was a single parent and he worked and I wasn't going to school, that's how it all started. And I ended up, I went with to his house with other boys.
Yeah.
That's where it kind of all started with him, you know.
So after that Learningdale school, so were you placed anywhere else after that one?
No, I was
Yeah, that was the last one, was it?
when I was quite ready, when I was meant to leave school, I was at Paris, you know.
Okay, so in regards to each of those care settings now, so I've got Court Bridge, so you were placed with a social worker, you said, and then
My brother Copper, his name was.
what was his
That's
name?
what he called, that's what he was called, because he was a monk, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So, there was something started to hit me, you know. Everyone knows them.
So I need to take some statements now regarding your time in each of those settings. So would
okay.
you be able to tell me about that first one? Obviously, if you need a break
well,
at any point,
but,
let me know, okay?
Yeah, well, we resided there right after school. You went in the morning, you got up, he took you to school, dropped you off, and then you made your own way right to his place. Got your dinner, and then you were sent to bed right away after dinner, about 5 o'clock at night. And particularly on a Thursday night, the priest from the local parish came to his house because it was like a mansion house.
Yeah.
And they was making the people be drinking and partying and stuff through the night and all that.
Right, on a Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday night they all came to his house for some reason. Three or four different priests.
So police?
Priests, you know, clergymen, priests.
Oh, okay.
Priests, yeah. So it was just one particular night that I happened to get up and to go to the toilet and Brother Cuthbert, he was standing at the top of the stairs and shouted down at me, where are you going? I told him I was going to the toilet and he grabbed me put my hands on me.
Sorry, the phone call broke up for a couple of seconds there. So I heard, so you went up to go to the toilet and he was stood at the bottom of the stairs.
He totally asked me where I was going. He was drunk and I told him I was going to the toilet and he grabbed me and pushed me into his office at the bottom of the stair, and then they pulled a steel roller out and hit me in the fingers with it. Cut on my fingers.
What was that, sorry? What did he do?
He had a steel roller, you know, like a teacher's roller you would use at school, a metal one. And then he put my hands on his desk and he hit me and cut both my fingers on both hands.
So you used the ruler to try and hurt your hands?
I did. I cut both my fingers. My forefingers.
Yeah.
With the ruler. So I told him that I was going to report him. He told me to keep my mouth shut because he would just say that I jammed my fingers in the door. So I didn't make it. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go and say anything to anybody, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, at that time, because I thought he would just get away with it anyway.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be, you know, because I told him I shouldn't be doing that. And then he told me to go back to bed. So then I run away from there. I went home the Friday and I run away. And the police came to my dad's house and they were searching for me. For 2 days I was slept in a wood, some woods.
Yeah.
And then the police finally got me and took me back. From there, didn't take me back to his because I told
them
what
happened. They
took you back there? No, they took me. They took me to the police station. And this was on a Monday morning. And then social workers took me to the children's panel. That was not court, but it's for people under 16, you know, who have done something wrong, but I hadn't done anything wrong. All I'd done was run away from the care home, care centre. So they decided, the children's panel, I suppose, the three people said that I was to go to Polar House, and they took me there.
So was that Polar House, did you say?
Calder House, they took me to
the
this all happened, they went to Burr Cupboards, he helped me, I ran away. Then I ended up in Calder House Assessment Centre. And then I was in there for like 3 months. They were basically it was just like a run basically like a wee mini kind of prison for boys, you know, girls. And then they kept you there until you could find a school to put you in. And they were doing things like making you up every morning, but they would just put a box of socks at the top of the corridor, and you had to get up early to try and get a decent pair of socks because most of them had holes in them. So it was just a thing they'd done so you got up out of your bed to get good socks, which was wrong, you know. And this went around to wear your own collar or anything like that, you know. What they give you.
Were you punished at all while you were in the colder house?
Well, no, we make you do jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I do work in the kitchen and peel potatoes and stuff like that. I don't know if that's like abuse, but I thought like things like giving you odd socks and stuff to grading, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't any, don't recall any, like, you know, abuse starts going on in there. The abuse was to happen with this.
Is it so it was more mental than emotional?
Yeah. That was the way they run the place, you know. To get, I suppose it was to try and discipline you as well with giving you jobs, so that wasn't really abusing you, I don't think. But
the emotional and the mental abuse is just as big of a factor.
Yeah, because you weren't allowed to have your own clothes and stuff.
Yeah. And you were also being disciplined for something that you didn't do anything wrong.
No. And I had no say, I hadn't committed any criminal acts to be in these places, you know, just because I hadn't went to school. So I suppose I didn't understand, but I just thought that was a normal thing. If you didn't go to school, you just get sent to these places.
Yeah.
And they had an easy way to do it because my father was a single parent and he worked, so it wasn't. Does that make sense? So that's why I was sent to these places. Not for doing anything, you know, wrong.
It was just, so your father was unable to care for you?
Well, they decided that because he was at work and I didn't know whether I was at school or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's who they took away from my home to put in these places, not for doing. Some boys were in there for hitting other people and assaulting people and so on, nasty people you've been amongst young boys. So I don't know if it was even legal to do that back then, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just the way that things were run, and that's the way you accepted. You had to accept it because, you know. But yeah, I mean, like, for what he done with me with a steel ruler and broke, cut my fingers. And they're still deformed. Now they were bent, two fingers that he done it. Put scars on them. So, and I had to just leave that as if it didn't happen, you know. And then I had resentment for people who was bent going after me. You know? So it's not, I mean, I'm sure there was, I don't have any sexual abuse as such, but I don't know.
It doesn't dismiss what you went through. Every form of abuse is still abuse.
Yeah, I knew it was wrong. I knew what was happening to me was wrong, the way I wasn't allowed to wear my own clothes and did you wear what I mean? Like, it was like I was in prison, you know. When you went home, if you got weekend leave, sometimes you obviously to give you your own food then, you know.
Yeah.
So, but they allowed us to smoke cigarettes as well. You were allowed to smoke. I was only like 15, so I shouldn't have been smoking at all, you know.
No.
You had a smoke time, you know, 5 cigarettes per day. So that's not right either, you know. If you look back on it, I'm encouraging you to smoke. You do jobs for, you know, you wouldn't be doing that if you was at home, you know.
No.
Peeling potatoes and all that. But then when I was sent to Ronandale, it was just more of the same. Just regime, just the rules that you had to abide by, everything, you know.
So it was in Ronandale, was it, like mental, or was there any physical or anything like punishments or in any way that they like deprived you of your care or anything that should be necessary but you weren't given?
Well, just the fact that I was sent there and there was no decision, you know, I had to be there, and it was just like just accepted what these things are, the way they spoke to you and sent you to bed at certain times, you know, and made you clean and wash dishes, and, you know, there was not really any, like, activity as such, you know, just, then, put you into, like, basically they had you in a thing, you couldn't do anything, you know, at all.
You didn't have any freedom.
No, not really, no. Because you were kept in there and not, you know, it was nothing. I mean, it was like a snooker table, but nobody got to play it and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But this was mostly from the Brother Copper guy at Pussy Club, just, you know.
Yeah. But so just to double check, so with the Brother Cuthbert, so from my understanding, just to confirm if I have this right, so when you were first taken from your father's care, so you were placed with Brother Cuthbert.
Yeah.
In a house.
Yeah, in a house. More like a big house, you know, like a kind of posh house, you know, like old mansion type house, you know.
Yeah, and were there other kids there?
Yeah, the kids, yeah. There was a guy, a social worker, that he made the dinner and you would wash the dishes and stuff like that. But it was run by North Lanarkshire Council. Or I don't know, run the council, but I believe run the social work department, run it. So that was where it was really bad, you know.
So that was in North Lanarkshire, you said?
Yeah, Goldbridge, yeah. I could say something about it, would be, I'm sure there'd be other people who'd have had dealings with him, you know, his brother Copper guy, because he was nasty. And he made it plain the way you were there under his, he was a boss, you know, kind of idea, and nobody would run up to make you scared, you know. But
yeah,
you had no other option. I mean, when he had me to run away, the police had to come and get me, find me, and I was hiding, you know.
Yeah.
Would,
so,
you know,
if you hadn't run away, would you have stayed there, or was it like a temporary placement until they found somewhere else for you, or was that like a?
No, because that's just when I ran away from him, they decided that I was to go to the Calder House.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know if it stays that they put me there first, and then I don't know if that was, but the normal thing happened. But I went there, and then a lot of people didn't go to him. Understand, people went, they were bad and they'd done something wrong, they got involved with the police, got involved, they would say, right, and the children's panel would send them to Calder House, which is an assessment centre. But I was given that, I was put him first for some reason, I don't know why. Well, because I hadn't committed any crimes, you know.
Yeah, so whenever like any of you like reported anything or ran away or did anything like that, you were just sent to that. The assessment centre, rather than him being disciplined,
after he'd done that to me and I ran away, and I told the police what happened to me why I ran away, and they just said that that's nonsense, you know. And then did anybody? I don't. There was no. Exactly, was getting. I mean, nowadays he would be charged as abuse, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a victim. I was a victim, but it's just like. The police were just, there were no charges, and then, I mean, for them to send me, because I'd run away from him, then I go to a children's panel, it's just a board of people who decide what's happened with your future from still idea, you know. So that's just with him, it's where it all started, you know.
Yeah.
But not really any other physical abuse, other than the fact I was put in a school with people who were criminals, you know what I mean? As well, a lot of people were there because they had done something. Because they're underage, 16, they can't go to jail, they would send them there, you know? So I was put in amongst these kind of people. I hadn't done anything to deserve to be in that, you know? All I'd done was I didn't go to school. So, you know, kind of thing, you know? Put in an environment with people who was, you know, they're probably in jail now, you know?
Yes, you were just left there. Obviously, you felt unsafe and vulnerable. Obviously, being mixed in with criminals when you hadn't done anything.
I didn't know. The only thing I had done was one day my dad went to work and tried to look after as best he could, but I didn't. Obviously, because it was stupid. My dad didn't think it took off him as such.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Because I was just, my dad wasn't too happy with me, you know, obviously. Turning out that way, you know, I couldn't help what happened.
Yeah. So, like I said, so in the Lonindale school, so is it was it just
You just, I was denied it. See, I was quite clever, and I was doing it sort of so many levels. And when I got to Lonindale, they only had like, I was denied more levels, I would say, because they didn't have the facility or the teachers to finish their schooling, for that year.
She
So
denied your
I got,
education.
GCSEs and that, so I'd only Sat C instead of, I'd been in normal school, I'd been in Sat the law, like history, and the law that they catered for was like arithmetic and English and art was the only three classes that they had on. They didn't have any other, so my schooling was denied in that respect for the 4 years of school, which is the main year that you're going to like get your education, and then that'll make you bit more successful when you leave school with more GS, what levels it's called here, or all grades, sorry. At that time it was, so I was only got to sit three instead of maybe would have got geography, history, modern studies, science, but that's still, they sent me to the, none of them did cater for that kind of thing.
No.
So I was denied my qualifications after, so basically my first 4 years of school or high school, I mean, it was wasted. So then I asked the school,
Yeah.
couldn't cater for me,
You weren't given what you weren't like given the opportunities that you were capable of.
that denied me my education. I felt, because it's not, the teachers, they don't have it like a normal school, because there's only maybe 40 or 50 people in there, so there'd only be like three teachers or something that dealt with me. The same teacher taught you arithmetic and math and English, and then you had an art class, and that was it. There was no history or science or that was involved in these schools, So that way, I mean, that's not abuse, but it's denying your
Well, it is.
education.
It is in itself. You're denied just
Yeah,
basic
it's ready.
human, like your education.
Aye, so that's again, your partner up against your human rights, but your education is a part of your. But, and so, I was, they told me I was lucky because some of the schools didn't have anything, nobody sat all levels. I was the only person that sat, I can remember the day I sat them. And it was just three, And everywhere, all my, I mean, I was doing top of the year before that, my own school for maths, and you did the preliminary examinations the year before, I was top of for mathematics, I was top of the whole school
So
for my year.
you were made to like they try and make they basically tried to make you feel lucky for what you were given, but it shouldn't have justified what you were still denied just because other places had less, that you were still denied, yeah.
But that was the only real abuse, physical, was my brother couple, and the rest wasn't the members of staff in the other places. Didn't treat me, didn't have any violence as such, You were just was their regime, the way that they run the school, so you just had to go by what they'd done, You couldn't, you're not going to make, it's not your school, it's theirs. That's kind of really what happened in my journey throughout that period. All that happened in that period was over a year or so,
Okay, so regarding that now, so I've written everything down. So I'll just following the phone call, I'll just go through and double check and confirm everything. And then I'll send the contract over to you then. So following this, so before I move on to that part, so there's two types of applications that we can pursue under the scheme. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount, like regardless of the severity of the abuse you suffered. And then there's the individually assessed payment, so it's up to £100,000. It's decided by a closed panel, dependent on the level you suffered. So based on previous awards made by the scheme and everything we've spoken about today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you, if that's okay.
Okay, that is a £10,000 one,
The 100,000, so
right.
up to, yeah. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the scheme in person. So we'll provide the detailed witness statement on your behalf to tell your story. So following this, so I'll send over the contracts. So it'll be a client care letter, conditional fee agreement, a letter of authority, and then I'll send over one then with the request for the proof of address and identity. But as we said, so you can send the three proof of address instead. So you can take a look at your internet.
But you said, did you say the initial fee thing they have to pay something?
No. So it's all no win, no fee. So you don't have to. So there's no charges unless you're successful and it's
Okay.
So like I said, so I'll finish writing up all these statements. I'll get your contracts finished and reviewed, and then I'll send them over to you. Would you like me to give you a call when I send them through in case you have any questions?
Yeah, well, I'm going to put my thing late here. Work are coming in the 12 o'clock, so about 2. No.
Yeah, so if you want, so I can.
I'll be late after then, maybe. You send the stuff in the meantime, and then I'll probably try and deal with it around about after 2 o'clock when she goes, you know.
Okay, so if you want, so I can give you a call about 2-ish if you want, just to go through them and explain, and then if you have any questions then. So in the meantime, I'll get these all sorted and I'll get them sent over to you.
Right, I'll try and do my best to get them pulled out.
That's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time today.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.